Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Tentatively, we know we got State Representative Bill Lamb at some point, but I don't know what we got beyond that. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. What you do is you shoot me a text. But joining us now here, first time on the program, always a pleasure to have a first-time guest, and very kind to make time for us, so especially under such busy circumstances, State Representative Matthew Hammett. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We do appreciate it. Well, new member, the old Mike Jones seat, right? It was, you know, Rules Committee Chairman, but one of my favorite places to go, and whenever I had to go to Dothan, I don't do that I-10 stuff. I go up and then go through and through Covenant County. And
a lot of good things, good places to eat, and good people in Covenant County, Jeff.
Yeah, so I'm very familiar with your hometown, but new member. Well, I mean, you're a year and a half in here or so. What do you make of the Alabama legislature?
Well, I didn't know what to expect when I got here, but I mean, we're here. I mean, like you said, I'm new. I've never been in politics before. I'm a businessman. I run my own company. We drill water wells for a living, and you know, I'm a conservative businessman. And I just, well, me and my wife were talking about running and hadn't made a decision. And one night I was watching the news, and like everybody else, I got a little upset. And she just said, well, you know what? If you're not willing to step up and make a difference, there's no need you keep complaining about it. So we jumped in there, and fortunately, we came away with a win.
Well, talk to me a little bit about that. Like, what did you anticipate this experience being like, and what has it been? And especially going from that first year, I thought we are finally seeing the Nathaniel Ledbetter sort of leadership style now. The first year was a get acquainted year, I felt like.
I think you're exactly right. It's just getting, we had a huge freshman class, so a lot of different personalities. So we're all starting to gel, and I think we do pretty well most of the time.
Yeah. Well, what did you think it was going to be like versus what it has been?
It's a whole lot different this year than last year, in my opinion. We're doing so many hot topic, you know, issues, and last year we just kind of learning as we went, and it wasn't very controversial, most of it. But, I mean, this has been pretty we've earned our money this time, Jeff.
Well, talk about your constituents. Well, what – I mean, everybody says, oh, well, they want to vote on a lottery or whatever. But beyond that, beyond the, like, hot button of the day, I mean, what do you think? Because some members, like you talk to a guy from the Shoals, they don't even feel like they're part of Alabama, you know, or in my ways, and sometimes on the coast. But what do you think your constituents expect from state government? What do you hear from them when they talk about what they want out of Montgomery?
They want efficiency. They want us to spend their tax dollars well. And, you know, sometimes we do, and sometimes it doesn't look like we do. I guess one of the biggest things we've done that, I got more calls on this than I did the game, and property taxes. When we put, you know, we passed the bill with 7% cap on property taxes on commercial and residential. I mean, that was a huge thing to my constituents. In Covenant County, I guess 2022, 23, our taxes went up average 21% countywide. That's a huge amount of money, you know, and you got some small business owners and retired people. I mean, it's just a hard hit on them.
Yeah, so, and then just the way with inflation and everything, that number is, well, it's inflated.
Well, you know, it's tough to make a living now. What things cost twice what they did before COVID. I know in my business, I mean, supplies and materials, I mean, they're in some cases triple what they were before COVID. So, I mean, it's hard for everybody trying to make a living.
Well, tell me something about, another thing about, I've always felt very interesting about Covington County. No private schools. You have three public school systems. And this year, the school choice stuff comes along. And, you know, it's not school choice is the law now. It is, has been done. But I always look at, like, your community, your district as a place where you might not like the state of Alabama coming in and tinkering with what you got. Yeah, you got, like, a very, I think, very solid school system in Andalusia. Yeah, like nice facilities, like almost junior college level facilities.
You've got Andalusia City Schools, Ops City Schools, yeah, and the Covington County City, Covington County Schools, which is four of those high schools. We do have a good school system. You know, I talked to all three of my superintendents before this. You know, they really didn't like it. They really weren't in favor of it, but they didn't think it was a hill to die on. I mean, really? It was, you know, they could live with it.
Because you see that, and
I guess what you alluded to, we are unique. There is no private schools in my county, home county. You know, I don't know where the kids would go if they wanted to go to private school. I guess the nearest one would be Pike Lib or Crenshaw Christian Academy, and that's most people from Andalusia would be a 40-50 mile ride.
Yeah, but what if it opened up the marketplace too? Hey, we're going to open up a private school. We're going to have Covington Academy here, and that might pull resources from what I think is a model of the way to do it in rural Alabama. This, like, when y'all needed a performing arts center, the community raised the funds and did it the right way. And look, I'm not like an opponent of school choice by any means, but what I do have problems with are these one size fits all approaches to government. And I think this is what that was.
Well, I've said it a lot of times. You know, what's good in Birmingham and Montgomery doesn't apply to us because it's a totally different situation. You know, we're blessed with good school systems, and I guess some parts of the state, they don't have school systems as good a shape as ours are.
And it's the state of Alabama approach to education, where you look at a piece of paper and you look at the NAEP scores and you look at it as an all one monolith, and that's not really the problem. You have to be more targeted and rely on local governments, but to just not get the job done, it's dragging their entire state down. So that's why I think you get these sort of big picture ideas, right?
Yeah, and I tell you, part of that school choice was the homeschooling, where, you know, it was $2,000 a student and $4,000 a family, which we homeschooled one of our children. I guess what I worry about is people taking them out of public school and say they're going to homeschool them, and then those kids maybe get behind, and then they go back to the public schools, and, you know, they got to play catch up. That's the one thing I worry about in my district the most.
Yeah, well, that was always like when this whole debate was going on, that's what I would explain to people. Like, look, if you want school choice, the people of Alabama want it, then let's do it. But just know that it's not going to work everywhere. It's not something for every place in the state. And I always use Covington County as an example.
Yep, that's right.
So. Other things, let's just start talking about big picture issues. Winding down here, you can feel the tension when you walk in the building.
It's getting pretty heated around here.
Yeah. The House and the Senate going to make up, you think?
I don't know.
Really?
It doesn't look good. You know, they didn't even have one bill of ours on their calendar yesterday, and then, you know, leadership went shutting theirs down. So I hope we can all get together and let's do the work of the people, you know. But it's not a good situation right now.
Yeah. So, and I explained this earlier in the program, what's going on. The Senate didn't consider any House bills. So later in the day, the House reciprocated, carried over all the Senate bills. This happens just every now and then, and during the quadrennium, we get this close to sine die. But ultimately, things kind of get worked out, I would think.
I hope they do. There's some legislation we need to get passed, you know, not earth-shattering stuff, but, I mean, some agriculture bills me and Senator Carnley's working on. I hope they don't get held up and we can get them through before the session's over.
Well, let's talk about those. Those are always interesting to me. And like, what kind of stuff there? What kind of ag bills you got in the hopper?
Well, we got the Farmers Federation wanting to build the farm center, whatever, right, in Birmingham. I really think that needs to get through.
Someone north of Warrior or wherever.
Yeah, yeah. Give you a little background. My daughters, they showed 4-H calves, and we went all over the Southeast doing it. And my son rodeoed high school and junior high, and he still does it now as an adult. But, you know, we go to Perry, Georgia, and you see those facilities, and you come here to Garrett Coliseum, and, you know, when they were built in the 50s, that was a nice place, but it's not now. So, you know, we're losing a lot of stuff. We could, out of state, like Perry and, you know, Jackson, Mississippi, because we don't have the facilities. And I hope we can get that done. Some stuff, just the ag livestock disposal bill, me and Senator Carney's working on, give the ag commissioner, you know, change up some things. We haven't adjusted that since 1917, I think. So some just little stuff like that.
With the Trump rally at the Perry facility, probably right after he got out of office, one of the first rallies he did in Georgia there was in Perry, Georgia. It was when Herschel Walker was running, because he spoke right at it as well. That's an impressive facility.
It is. It's we've been all over the country from rodeoing, and, you know, that facility in Perry, Georgia is nice as you'll see anywhere in the United States.
I haven't been to Garrett Coliseum in decades. I would tell
you. It looks just the same as the last time you were there.
George Strait concert in the 90s.
Right. Last time. Alan Jackson is the ones I went to there.
I've been meaning to get to one of the rodeos there, but I have not been able to make that happen. But that stuff, it's been talked about for years. We talked about Chilton County for a while, and then now it looks like this is going to happen, this North Jefferson County facility.
I think it is going to happen if we can just get it through upstairs. So it passed us yesterday.
You feel optimistic. Well, we'll see, I guess.
We'll see. You know, I'm not going to say anything. I don't know how it's going to wind up.
Gambling, what do your constituents say? Is it just we want to vote on the lottery or anything different?
My constituents either don't want any of it or they want lottery only. They have real heartburn about the, most especially the sports booking. I mean, being able to do it on the phone, they don't like the casino aspect of it, but, you know, most of them would like the lottery. They all want to vote on it, yes or no, but the thing about it, they're just voting on it. They're not controlling what exactly happens, so, you know, they don't understand that.
There's like 10, 15 things they want to add to it besides the lottery, and people tend not to understand that. So my radio colleague Dale Jackson says, well, the money could go to Hamas, and people in Alabama would probably still vote for a lottery, that they feel that strongly about it. But they're not aware, or maybe they are aware, they just don't care about, I mean, the casino, 10 casinos in Alabama in the House.
Well, my home county, we're right on the Florida line. So they see all the money going across the line, and people from Alabama, what they spend in one, you know, Mega Millions or whatever it is, or the Powerball.
All right.
So anyway, I mean, they see the money leaving, but, you know, it's like you said, if we get the lottery, where are we going to put that money? How's it going to be used? You know, that's things they don't know when they're voting. So
what do you think? Because I'm kind of this idea of a third, infrastructure, general fund, ETF. Does it have to go all to education?
I guess it has to, but, you know.
Would that be preferred?
A lot of them look at Georgia. I mean, you know, a lot of kids go to college through the lottery, and that's, you know, they want it to happen here. But, you know, I don't know what the solution is, Jeff.
Well, it's
that's for people higher up the food chain than me.
it's the pivotal issue of the day, I am told, whenever we talk about what's going on in the state. It's gambling.
Well, I don't know. We're running out of time. If something's going to happen, it's going to happen pretty quick.
Yeah, I think you're right. I give it, to borrow something from gambling, you're pretty low odds, but that's just me talking right now.
The leadership knows more than I do. I mean, I'd say 40% maybe.
Yeah, well, I think even lower than that.
Probably.
But you had the ground halt the first 2 weeks of the session, right, to go through this. And if it hasn't.
We burned a lot of days on that first part of the session, you know. We were 3 days a week, so.
You can't afford to do anything like that again. Just, what, 8 days left or something?
Less than that. I think six now.
6 days. So I slept through one of them or something. Then you got to keep one potentially to override veto.
Yeah, they're going to keep one in case the governor vetoes something when we can come back. So what I understand.
You ready to get back? How you feeling at this point?
It's been a long session.
Yeah, well, you're not too far away from home, though. You know, some of these guys got.
We can see the home stretch coming, so.
Yeah, well.
I do enjoy my job. I'm glad I'm here. I mean, I feel like we do make a difference. I mean, sometimes it's a dog and pony show, but for the most part, I mean, it's a good deal being up here representing the people back home.
Well, I appreciate you making time for us. I won't keep you any longer.
Well, thanks for letting me on, Jeff. I'll do it anytime.
Yeah. Well, let's keep in touch and let's. You know, I always like to talk about what's going on y'all's way.
Come by. We'll go Big Mike's and eat.
Big Mike's. Yeah. I'm going in there at about happy hour, and all the townies are in there who are talking and hear a little gossip about what's going on around town.
Just let me know. We'll get it lined up.
All right. State Representative Matthew Hammond here on the program. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. All you got to do is text me. Bill Lamb coming up here in just a little bit, so stay tuned. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Yeah,